I thought about it. She was right. She was a good student of human behavior, which made her a good cop. If I ever did actually get around to a performance review, she was going to score off the charts. "Something else you speculated about?" she said. He saunters on out to the marina and gets on a boat. "He lives on it?" "I don't think so. I mean, it's got bunks and all, but I think it's a hobby boat." "How do you know it's got bunks?" "I've been aboard." "When?" "The second Sunday. Don't forget, all I'd seen up to that point was the business with the newspaper. I still hadn't positively identified the document. But he went out on another boat with some other guys, so I checked it out."
"How?"
"Exemplary application of relevant skills. I wore a bikini."
"Wearing a bikini is a skill?"
Then I looked away. In her case, it would be more like world-class performance art. It was still hot then. I blended in with the other yacht bunnies. I strolled out, walked up his little gangplank. Nobody noticed. I picked the lock on the hatch and searched for an hour.
I had to ask. "How did you conceal lockpicks in a bikini?"
"I was wearing shoes."
"Did you find the blueprint?"
"I found all of them."
"Did the boat have a name?"
She nodded. "I traced it. There's a yacht registry for all that stuff."
"So who's the guy?"
"This is the part you're going to hate. He's a senior military intelligence officer, a lieutenant colonel, a Middle East specialist. They just gave him a medal for something he did in the Gulf."
"Shit. But there might be an innocent explanation."
"There might, but I doubt it. I just met with Garofsky an hour ago."
"Okay," I said. That explained the dress greens. Much more intimidating than wearing a bikini, I guessed. "And?"
"And I made him explain his end of the deal. His little girls are 12 months and 2. The 2-year-old disappeared for a day 2 months ago. She won't talk about what happened to her while she was gone. She just cries a lot. A week later, our friend from military intelligence showed up, suggested that the kid's absence could last a lot longer than a day if Daddy didn't play ball. I don't see any innocent explanation for that kind of stuff."
"No, nor do I. Who's the guy?"
"His name is Francis Xavier Quinn."
The cook brought the next course, which was some kind of a rib roast, but I didn't really notice it because I was still thinking about Francis Xavier Quinn. Clearly, he had come out of the California hospital and left the Quinn part of his name behind him in the trash with his used gowns and his surgical dressings and his John Doe wristbands. He had just walked away and stepped straight into a new identity, ready-made. An identity that he felt comfortable with. One that he would always remember deep down at the primeval level he knew hidden people had to operate on. No longer United States Army Lieutenant Colonel Quinn, FX, Military Intelligence. From that point on, he was just plain Frank Xavier, anonymous citizen.
"Rare or well?"
Beck asked me. He was carving the roast with one of the black-handled knives from the kitchen. They had been stored in a knife block, and I had thought about using one of them to kill him with. The one he was using right then would have been a good choice. It was about 10 inches long, and it was razor sharp, judging by how well the meat was slicing, unless the meat happened to be unbelievably tender.
"Rare,"
I said. "Thank you." He carved me 2 slices, and I regretted it instantly. My mind flashed back 7 hours to the body bag. I had pulled the zipper down and seen another knife's work. The image was so vivid I could still feel the cold metal tag between my fingers. Then I flashed back 10 whole years, right back to the beginning with Quinn, and the loop was complete.
"Horseradish?"
Elizabeth said. I paused. Then I took a spoonful. The old army rule was eat every time you can, sleep every time you can, because you didn't know when you were going to get another chance to do either. So I shut Quinn out of my mind and helped myself to vegetables and started eating. Restarted thinking. Everything I'd heard, everything I'd seen. I kept coming back to the Baltimore Marina in the bright sunlight and to the envelope and the newspaper. Not this, but that. And to the thing Duffy had said to me.
"You haven't found anything useful. Not a thing. No evidence at all."
"Have you read Pasternak?" Elizabeth asked me.
"What do you think of Edward Hopper?" Richard asked.
"You think the M-16 should be replaced?" Beck said.
I surfaced again. They were all looking at me. It was like they were starved for conversation, like they were all lonely. I listened to the waves crashing around three sides of the house and understood how they could feel that way. They were very isolated. But that was their choice. I like isolation. I can go 3 weeks without saying a word. I saw Dr. Zhivago at the movies, I said. I liked the Hopper painting with the people in the diner at night.
Nighthawks, Richard said.
I nodded. I liked the guy on the left, all alone.
Remember the name of the diner?
Phillies, I said. And I think the M16 is a fine assault rifle.
Really?
Beck said. It does what an assault rifle's supposed to do. You can't ask for much more than that.
Hopper was a genius. Pasternak was a genius, Elizabeth said. Unfortunately, the movie trivialized him, and he hasn't been well translated. Solzhenitsyn is overrated by comparison.
I guess the M16 is an improved rifle, Beck said.
Edward Hopper is like Raymond Chandler, Richard said. He captured a particular time and place. Of course, Chandler was a genius, too, way better than Hammett.
Like Pasternak is better than Solzhenitsyn, his mother said.
They went on like that for a good long time. Day 14, a Friday, nearly over, eating a beef dinner with three doomed people, talking about books and pictures and rifles. Not this, but that. I tuned them out again and trolled back 10 years and listened to Sergeant First Class Dominique Cole instead.
He's a real Pentagon insider, she said to me,
the seventh time we met.
Lives close by in Virginia. That's why he keeps his boat up in Baltimore, I guess.
How old is he?
40.
Have you seen his full record?
She shook her head. Most of it is classified.
I nodded, tried to put the chronology together. A 40-year-old would have been eligible for the last 2 years of the Vietnam draft at the age of 18 or 19. But a guy who wound up as an intel light colonel before the age of 40 had almost certainly been a college graduate, maybe even a Ph.D., which would have gotten him a deferment. So he probably didn't go to Indochina, which in the normal way of things would have slowed his promotion. No bloody wars, no dread diseases. But his promotion hadn't been slow, because he was a light colonel before the age of 40.
I know what you're thinking, Cole said. How come he's already 2 whole pay grades above you?
Actually, I was thinking about you in a bikini.
She shook her head. No, you weren't.
He's older than me.
He went up like a bottle rocket.
Maybe he's smarter than me.
Almost certainly. But even so, he's gone real far, real fast.
I nodded. Great, I said. So now we're messing with a big star from the intel community.
He's got lots of contact with foreigners. I've seen him with all kinds of people. Israelis, Lebanese, Iraqis, Syrians.
He's supposed to. He's a Middle East specialist.
He comes from California. His dad was a railroad worker. His mom stayed at home. They lived in a small house in the north of the state. He inherited it, and it's his only asset. And we can assume he's been on military pay since college.
Okay.
He's a poor boy, Reacher. So how come he rents a big house in McLean, Virginia? How come he owns a yacht?
Is it a yacht?
It's a big sailboat with bedrooms. That's a yacht, right?
POV?
A brand new Lexus?
I said nothing.
Why don't his own people ask these kinds of questions?
They never do. Haven't you noticed that? Something can be plain as day and it passes them by.
I really don't understand how that happens.
I shrugged. They're human. We should cut them some slack. Preconceptions get in the way. They ask themselves how good he is, not how bad he is.
She nodded. Like I spent 2 days watching the envelope, not the newspaper. Preconceptions.
But they should know better.
I guess.
Military intelligence.
The world's biggest oxymoron, she replied in the familiar old ritual. Like safe danger.
Like dry water.